Welcome to Benign Chaos, where anything seemingly goes, but there might just be some meaning to it all. I'm half the voice of this journey. My name is Shelry.
And I'm the other half. My name is Angel. All right. We're ready to
All
go.
right.
You're the lady. You're the one.
Okay, so today we're back and our podcast is going to be very unstructured. Not that we're often structured, but we just came up with a loose topic. And that is referring to angels. I don't know if it's your passion or a hobby or maybe a mixture of both, but the whole romance genre, particularly literature. And maybe we'll wander into the whole area of what fandom is and what that means. So I want to start with asking Angel, like, when was the first time you really, really came in touch with romance, and what did it spark in you?
It was my friend Shelley, and we were teenagers. We were like, golly, we were maybe freshmen in high school. So what is that, 14 years old? And she read, her and her mother read The Harlequins.
Okay.
And I just, so it was my first time reading a Harlequin, and it was so much fun.
Uh-huh.
And I was just eating them up like candy. I was reading them one after the other. But you very quickly see the pattern in the Harlequins.
Right. So, but what was the candy element? Like, what was it about it that?
Oh, I think it's like romance with any, because women in general are attracted to romance.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't think there was nothing more than that than any woman being attracted to a romance movie or a romance novel. There's something about that. For men, their fantasy is, you know, like Die Hard. They're the man that saves the day against all odds, and there's explosions, and there's really bad guys. And usually, for some reason, I don't know why, but male fantasies have a woman you have to save as well. Like if you see there's always a woman that must be saved in the, what is his name? He did The Rock?
Bruce Willis? No, I know who you're talking about.
The director. And even like in The Rock, there was these two female characters. It was the lead, one of the man's lead character. It was Sean, what is his name? Khalid.
You know, the guy in that movie that did the thing.
Yes. Come on, he's 007. He was like
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery, thank you. Okay, so it's Sean Connery's character, his daughter, and she's got like two scenes, but she's in the danger area,
right?
And then it was Nicolas Cage's wife who's pregnant.
Yes,
very few scenes. She's at the beginning, she's at the end. That's it. But she was necessary to put her in the dangerous area. And if you notice
they
a lot of
be the coffee shop or something, they go through the danger zone.
They did just because Nicolas Cage's wife, pregnant wife, was actually nowhere because it was like, what was it, L.A. that was going to be bombed or something in the
right.
Rock. She was some in a different city, so she drives to L.A. They have to have her drive to L.A. And the same with like Die Hard with Bruce Willis. He had his estranged wife that he was trying to reconnect with, and she had to save her. But anyways, that's the male fantasy.
Uh-huh.
I just find it interesting. There's always a woman that has to be saved in the male fantasies.
So let me throw this out there, because I was just thinking about this when you were saying all that. As I was never into romance. I'm not a romance type person. I didn't like romantic comedies very much. I didn't. It seems that the few romance stuff that I've seen and read, for the women's fantasy, there has to be a male that's saved, but saved emotionally, whereas the females, the male fantasies have to be saved physically.
That's true, actually. And that, yes, it's very true. If you think of, like, the classic romance that everyone loves, Pride and Prejudice.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what Elizabeth does. She saves Mr. Darcy.
Just on an emotional level, you know?
Yes, right. But actually, if you think about that one, it's both of them. She was, he helped both of them. But yeah, he was full of pride. He, you know, was a jerk.
Yes.
And it was Elizabeth's goodness.
That saved him. Yes. He was in the danger zone. A bad boyness.
Serious, I don't think the only thing that appealed to me is just it's the to me the romances are the female fantasies. They really are. They you know, the woman's beautiful and the man's handsome and they're rich. It's, you know, have you ever seen where they're poor? They're always rich and
And she
they
walked up to him in her gurney sack and said, "But I love you."
Well, now and now the woman can be poor in a lot of the romances, but the
But she
man.
looks nice and still, has a sense of style and
The thing that's interesting, it's a very rare romance where the woman's not pretty, though.
yeah, or the guy's not handsome.
Yes. But I guess because we're in fantasy world, you know.
Yes,
And
of course.
fantasy. And so, anyways, I think it was just the especially at 14 years old, you know, those fantasies just grab a hold of you.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a definitely an intense age of fantasizing about everything. When you get in a disagreement with someone else, you fantasize about all the ways that you're gonna take them out, or you make them look bad, or it's
Yes.
just a big fantasy time period.
Yes. Absolutely.
When you're mad at your parents, you're just like, "Well, if I got hit by a car, then you'd be sorry."
if you think about it, we're talking about our fantasies at 14 years old. Didn't you were really into the fantasy novel, or were you into the sci-fi novel at
I
that
think
age?
I've always been mainly a fantasy person, but I said sci-fi, but as I look back, I was never, when I liked Star Trek, it was always the human stories that I liked more than like how the warp drive ran or what the specifications were for the tricorder. And I think sci-fi tends to be more towards that area. So I didn't watch, I look back and I liked The Princess Bride and I liked the Dragon Riders of Pern.
I
I
loved
like,
those books.
so it was more a lot along the lines of fantasy.
Yeah, see, I think it's the same thing. I mean, you're actually using the word. It's a fantasy world. You know,
Yeah.
we were talking about this with Avatar. You know, in Avatar, you get to ride a dragon, you know,
Yeah.
whatever those
Yeah.
things are. You know, you get to run around the forest as a cat person. And for some reason that feeds our I don't know. Those are fantasies that we really enjoy.
I mean, the guy gets to have his legs back.
Yeah.
I mean, permanently at the end when
Yeah.
he trades bodies. So, yeah, it is a big fantasy and it can be fun. I mean, I think that can be a really a fun time where you get to dream about all the things you want to do that maybe some of them will happen and maybe again some of them are so impossible they won't, but they're fun to think about.
And the thing that's interesting, now that I'm in love, the fantasy, the romance novels don't have as strong a hook on me as they did before.
Yeah.
And I think it's because you want to be in love so badly. And so you read these stories, you watch the movies, and you're like, oh, that's what I want. I want that so bad.
Yeah. I was also looking a lot of the stuff that I read, mine was more like fantasy adventure. I always wanted to be the adventurer person, the person who can do everything. I wanted to be Captain Kirk and I wanted to be Buckaroo Banzai. I didn't want them to save me. I wanted to be them, So I was always reading these stories where I was the hero.
Right.
Not necessarily saving things, but I was Indiana Jones. I was just having I was doing all that
Right.
crazy stuff.
Well, I think that's the problem I had with the Harlequins is these women were so dippy. You
Yeah.
know, they were the classic heroines, like in the Snow White tradition, where they just hung around and waited to get rescued.
Yes. La 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 la.
Hanging out with woodland animals.
Yes.
And you know, if you watch Snow White, she cooks and cleans for the little dwarves for shelter. You
Yes.
know, that's her life. So, you know, she goes, I'll cook and clean for you guys if y'all let me live here.
Yes. And fairy tales. Oh my God.
I know. I know.
And I have to say that, the more I read about fairy tales weren't really originally fantasies. I think they were mainly warning stories. Horrible, evil, bad warning stories.
Yes.
Some, they were
They
horrible.
were. My daughter asked me, my 5-year-old daughter asked me the other day, I know, what was the huntsman doing in Snow White? She watches Snow White. And I said, well, the queen told her to go cut her heart out. And I said, but he couldn't do it, so he let her go. And said, well, and she asked, I mean, she's a smart kid, wasn't the queen angry? And I said, well, no, he cut the heart out of a deer and presented it to the queen, and said, this is the heart of Snow White. He tricked her. He tricked the queen. So yeah, they're pretty gruesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen some modern retellings where they kind of get more along the gruesome edge, and I'm just like, whoa, it puts a whole new twist on fairy tale ending. It's like, no, I don't want that. No. And just as a tangent on the whole Snow White story, a while back I heard this, Neil Gaiman?
Yes, I love Neil Gaiman. Yes.
He wrote a story and they did an audio version of it called Snow Glass Apples. And it was a retelling of the Snow White story, but it was from the Queen side. And I think he did this in 94. And in this version, it was actually the girl that was evil, and the Queen was good. And the girl was, they never came right out and said she's a vampire, but she had those characteristics. And she was, and so the Queen was kind of a earth woman and stuff, so she tried to do her best to stop this girl. In the end, the girl won because that's the way the story works.
Right.
Snow White won, and the queen was killed. But it's really horrifying, and scary. And the girl is evil, and I don't know, does horrible things throughout the story. And when she had her heart cut out, she really did have her heart cut out, but the heart continued to beat for all the years until the girl came back to get it.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I mean, there's like, I know that's not the original fairy tale either, but they're gruesome. You think about these elements, like the hunter going out and
Yeah.
cutting the heart out of. Yeah. So, anyways, back to your love affair with the romance novel and how that developed. So
Oh.
you really got into it, and then you got tired of the Harlequins.
Yeah, well, I got tired of the dippy heroines.
Yes.
And I got tired of the, what's the right word? The very one-dimensional plot. The plot was so flat.
Yes.
And so I thought, oh, I can do better than this. I'm going to write my own. There's one of my favorite quotes. I can't remember who said it, but he said, when I want to read a novel, I write one.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yes, and that's what I felt like. It's like, well, I want to write something that I would want to read,
I think the only problem with that is you already know the ending before you start.
It's still fun to do. And I have to say, did you read, I think you did. Did you read the Twilight series that her name's Stephanie Meyer, did I
I
think?
just saw this. I was never into it. I went to this theater one day and I just was looking for something to watch and I saw the show Twilight and it said, vampires, blah, blah, blah. So I went and saw it and it was like the second day it opened. So I was in this theater with all these like late teen, early 20s women. It was packed and it was an experience because I was not into any of that. I didn't know about it and then I stumbled on it in a really cool way and it was kind of fun to be in an audience like that because I knew nothing about it.
Were all the women around you all excited about the movie and really enjoyed the movie?
Oh, they were all excited. It was just
See,
like
that's
all these women that were just there ready for
I
it.
love that thing. That's exactly what happened to me when I went to see Mortal Kombat. And so I go to Mortal Kombat with Gene, and I wanted to see it because I don't know why I wanted to see it so bad, but I was like, yeah, let's go see Mortal Kombat. And it was all little boys. It was all like 8-year-old to 14-year-old boys, and the theater was packed, and they would gasp and they would clap and they would, and then like they knew the game, so even when the background would come up and they'd know who it was, like Sub-Zero, everybody would start whispering Sub-Zero, Sub-Zero, Sub-Zero.
Awesome.
And then, sure enough, there would come Sub-Zero. And it was one of the most fun times I've ever had.
Yeah, I had that with Twilight. And oh, by the way, I still like Mortal Kombat.
Had a big, I think his name's Robin Shao, who played the main character. I had a big crush on
He
him.
was cute. He
Yes,
was
he
cute.
was.
Yes. And what's funny is I would always, and this is where I think maybe why I never got into romance novels, other than I liked adventure, but I always liked the goofy sidekick guys. I never liked the bad boy. They totally didn't interest me. They seemed boring. I was so bored. No, I'm not interested. So,
Yes.
like in Twilight, the very first movie I saw, I liked the Native American guy. Before he changed, he was like really sweet and nice and fun, and I liked him. I didn't like the vampire guy. He was such a downer.
Yes.
He was. And the only one of the vampires I really liked was the upbeat girl.
Right, the one with the little bob. Yeah.
She was cool.
Yeah, the I that's and I was I went through my bad boy phase, but you get out of that as you get older and you realize the bad boys are just jerks and they're not worth your time. And then once you're out of it, all of you're right, almost all for some reason, that's another thing I didn't like about the romance books, why I wanted to write my own, is they always have a bad boy as the romantic interest.
I know.
And like I'm totally into, well, I'm not anymore, but I really used to be into the shoujo manga, which is the girls, it's for high school girls, and it was the comic books for the high school girls, and I my favorite was the romance ones.
Right.
And so I really like the high school romance comic books out of Japan.
Yeah.
But almost, I mean, really, 95% of the time, it was the bad boys that were just, you're like, oh my gosh, he's just a jerk. And he would treat her badly, and she'd still go back. Like, so I can only take so much after a while of having to deal with these bad boys, which annoyed me. I kind of had to give up on the shoujo manga because
Like, not again, no.
I was probably in my late 20s, and I was through my bad boy stage. I liked the nice guys by then.
Yes. Well, I never liked the bad boys. I never did. They really got, I can't say why, because I know there's a tendency from talking to other women to like the bad boys in the female, and there's a tendency in the guys to like the kind of snotty, bitchy woman. And I'm sure most people grow out of that, but when you're young, there is a tendency for that. Not everybody does it. But
Right.
I never liked it. I always liked the Indiana Jones type, the goofy guy. He's kind of wisecracking and, doesn't, not smooth, not charming, just kind of goofy. So I never really got caught up in all that. I never really experienced any of that.
Well, you always, your boyfriends, you had, what was the, was his name Will?
William?
William, yes. William and Terry
Yes.
and Steve. You
Yes.
always chose the really nice guys. You know, I've got Mark. Say, you did a much better job, too. Luckily, I kind of clicked later on.
Kind of wonderful guy, too. Well, I always wanted a guy that I could laugh with. And to be honest, I had, after we became friends, I based a lot of how I judge my relationships on our relationship because we always had so much fun together. We just laughed a lot and were goofy. Remember that time we went to the country bar and we're sliding across the floor? I
Yes.
wanted a guy who would do that kind of stuff. And those are hard to find. Especially when you're younger, because most guys don't want to be perceived as goofy.
Yes, it's true, actually.
And the one guy I met when I was really young, Terry, had no problem. He did that kind of thing with me on the dance floor the very first time I met him. I'm like, yeah, there you So, but yeah, so I would always, I guess my impression of the romance was the brooding male.
Yeah.
Brooding, brooding. I was just like, God, you're so mopey.
Yeah.
Why are you brooding?
Yes.
So.
And the really good romances, I guess, well, like I said, Pride and Prejudice, he was pretty broody and mopey. But it was Mr. Darcy, so it's okay. I'm in love with Mr. Darcy, so it's that's totally okay that he was, but he's the only one that can be broody
Yes.
and
Well, in Star Trek, Spock, like the women that like Spock like those.
I was the one that liked Spock. Yeah, I was the one that out of all the men in Star Trek, he was the one that I liked was Spock.
Right. And I think now that I'm older and I look back, I think it would have been Captain Kirk. Now that I'm older and in that age group, because to me they all of them except Chekhov reminded me too much of my dad's age group. So at the time, in eighth grade, so I wasn't interested in any of them. But now I look back and I look at them, and I would have liked Captain Kirk, because he was the adventurer and the he always seemed, even though he kind of got around, he seemed nice to the women. It's not like he was just putting notches on a belt. He liked them, you know. Yeah. He really enjoyed romancing them, and you know,
well, enjoyed their company.
Yeah,
compared to like James Bond.
Yes,
you know, he doesn't.
He doesn't like women.
No, he doesn't really enjoy women's company that much.
No, no. He likes to do them.
Yes, but then we're getting right back. We're getting right back into the hardcore male fantasy there.
Yes.
My husband loves James Bond. We go see James Bond movies every time they come out.
Really? I've never seen one all the way through.
Oh, no. I have a big James Bond fan for a husband.
Aww.
So we, and he loves the new James Bond. Apparently, they did a very good job picking the new James Bond.
Well, that guy was in Tomb Raider, which I liked Tomb Raider, which kind of the female equivalent of James Bond mixed with Indiana Jones.
Uh-huh.
And he played the first love interest in the movie. And there were two scenes in that movie. One was for the guys and one for the girls. And Angelina Jolie taking a shower where you almost got to see, you know, her breasts, and you really saw her butt and her walking around. That was the guy scene. And then they did the same thing with Craig, what's his face?
I don't know.
Yeah, in the shower. And, you know, they almost showed everything. He had the hottest body. Oh, my God.
Oh, I saw it once a long time ago, and I don't remember it very well.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I love those movies just because they're silly and fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was hot. He was hot. So, yeah. But, yeah, I think the 007 is definitely the guy's guy.
It is. And as being such a male movie, there's nothing, hardly anything in it for women. Mm-hmm. Except recently they've gotten, M is now played by Judi Dench. And she is a rockin' Judi Dench. I mean, a rockin', you know, M, the guy who runs whatever the hell it's called. that runs the agency.
This is the good agency?
Yeah, the one that 007 works for. See if my husband hears it. Well, that is called blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
MI6, maybe? Is that what it's called? I don't know. But anyways.
I think you're right, yeah.
M runs it. And it's, in the past, it was always a man played M. And now, now Judi Dench is playing M. And so you have this really strong female character showing up in the 007 movies. And she is so much fun to watch.
Yes.
And another thing that's fun, and this is, I think, is they've got, Monty Python guy.
John Cleese.
John Cleese. They got John Cleese playing Q.
Look like an ostrich, like doing the ostrich thing.
Yeah, John Cleese. And he's funny. He's a funny Q because
he's a funny guy.
Well, he can deliver lines. I mean, he can just, it's so deadpan. It's perfect timing.
Yes.
And it's so funny. So they've got him playing Q. But that's it. That is it.
And I think you expect, like, when he delivers a line, it's hard to take him as a serious person. You expect it to be like an undercut of silliness or
right.
funny. You know, like you just see him, and as soon as he opens his mouth, you think something funny is going to come out.
Yeah, he plays a very sarcastic, very witty Q.
Nice.
So those are the two things I like about it. And but James Bond is just so. The problem I have is James Bond just doesn't. He cares. He just doesn't care about the women at all.
Yeah.
I watched one James Bond. This was an old one. I don't know which one it was. With Sean Connery, and he goes to the bad girl's house, knocks on the door, has sex with her. And then right when he's done, the police show up to take her away, and that's it.
Do you think he called them to say, hey, can y'all wait a little bit? Just give me like 30 minutes.
But you're James Bond. Don't you need at least 45?
Well, not with bad women.
They don't get the full service treatment. Yeah, just.
I think the one thing I noticed about James Bond is that, because I have watched clips and pieces, and I did like Sean Connery as James Bond, a little bit I've seen, just because he was sexy. I mean, you know, like, there was something about him that was very suave.
I'm just gonna cut him for just a second. The new James Bond. I'm gonna look up the name here in a second. That people have the same feeling about that with him. I think that's why he's such a popular James Bond, is he's very sexy.
Yeah. And Sean Connery had a nice body. And they wore the kind of clothes I liked back then, where the guys' swimsuits were like shorts that were tight. I like And they didn't have as much technology back then. It wasn't about blowing up things, and it was very subtle. Like to find out if somebody came in, is going to come in his room. I don't know if I had talked about this before, but before he left, he set it up so that he pulled a piece of hair out of his head and like put it on both sides of the door so he could see it if it had been disturbed, if somebody had come in the room.
Right.
Now it'd be all gadgets and they'd be lasers and there'd be gun pointing at the person, you know? And I don't know, sometimes I think that's just for the technology for the sake of technology.
Right.
The old James Bond didn't need to do that.
Right.
So.
Daniel Craig. I went on to IMDb. The thing I find interesting is you and I are talking about the male fantasy movies, and we see all the silliness in them. And I'm wondering if it'd be interesting to listen to a podcast of two men talking about the female fantasy ones. Because, so for me, the female fantasy, they're a little more dear to my heart. I'm like, no, that Those two people could get together and across this,
Yes.
this space and time and.
Well, as much as, you know, like I love fantasies, I think that was another reason I didn't get into either the male or the female fantasies. Because I'd be reading stuff and I'd be like, what? Are you kidding me? No. He just said that. I would have slapped him. There's no way. She thought that was wonderful.
I just thought of something. We totally got away from it. We're talking about Stephanie Meyer and Twilight.
Right.
And I had never read the books, and I was wondering. I went to see the movie, which I thought was just okay. And I was like, why are so many people loving this when the movie was just okay? I couldn't see why it had such a huge following. So I
Right.
read the book, and the book was so much fun, and I
Was
really enjoyed it. Yes, and I was like, oh, that's why all these women are in that.
I heard it was a lot better.
Yes, it is. I enjoyed the book a lot, and the thing you were talking about, how, oh, I remember now. I was saying you write a book that you would want to read, and you said, well, you would know the ending. I saw an interview with Stephanie Meyer, and all of the Twilight book came from a dream she had that was the scene in the glade where she sees his sparkling skin, and he says, everything about me attracts you, and I don't need any of that because I could, I'm this hunter, this killer, this perfect killer. Anyways, that was her dream, and she woke up and she wrote it down. And she said that when she was writing the book, she was writing because she was really excited to see what happened to the characters. I
Interesting.
thought that was really cool. So she didn't really. Now that's all I heard in the interview. I haven't. So I, it does from that one sentence, it sounds
Right.
to me like she didn't have a plot laid out with character development. It was more like it was. She wrote it from more organically.
Yeah, that was her journey.
Yes, exactly.
Very
Exactly.
cool. Very cool. I'm glad it worked out. Sometimes that style doesn't, but it must be exciting when it really does, and you get to go on the journey with your readers and not just be the
Right.
storyteller. So that's kind of cool. I saw the second Twilight movie just because, again, I was bored, and you know, I'm not this big follower of it. I just kind of saw the first one, and I thought I'd see the second one, and I was so like, oh my God, will this end?
My mom said the second one's terrible. I have to watch it, of course, because I've read the book, but my mom said it was awful.
Well, you've read the book, so I'm going to tell you one scene because it's not really a spoiler. Even if you hadn't read the book and you didn't know anything, there's a time when Bella, the main character, gets depressed And to show this, they have her sit in her room, in the middle of a room, looking out the window. And the camera moves around her, right? And as it pans the window, you see the seasons kind of change. And you think, okay, that's a cool technique, but then they just keep doing it on and on and on. You're like, I've got it, okay?
That's funny.
15 years have passed, fine.
Yeah. I have to watch it. It's kind of like when a new Star Trek movie comes out and people say, oh, it's terrible. And you're like, well, I still have to go see it. That's how I feel about New Moon. It's like, oh, okay, so it sucks. I still got to go see it. I read the book.
Well, you know, yeah, you know, I noticed that I'm not into movies as much anymore because I stopped going to Star Trek movies.
I did too, actually. Yeah.
And then this new one came out and I was really hesitant to go see it. And I went and saw it, and it devastated me. And I'm like, I'm
aww,
not here anymore. No more. I can't do it. They ruined Star Trek
for me.
They did. Did you see it?
I did, but I didn't dislike it as much as you did. You said that they had stripped out all the goodness of Kirk and just left him as a cocky asshole.
Yeah.
And whereas in the original series, he was kind of cocky, but he wasn't a jerk.
He wasn't a jerk. He was really an upright guy that just liked to be adventurous and
mm-hmm.
kind of broke the rules sometimes and was really suave and had that twinkle in his eye. And I would say the same, not as much with Spock, but a little bit, you know. And Uhura was strong and smooth. And this Uhura reflects the modern day. The girls have to have an attitude and kick ass. Whereas the other Uhura was just as strong. I think she was in a fight scene once in the original, too, when there was, like, the craziness going on in the ship. And this one, she just has to have an attitude with everybody. I was just like, oh, my God, you changed everybody. I like Scotty, though.
Uh-huh.
I did like him. He was still kind of out there and liked to drink. And
I didn't. The only thing that really annoyed me, and you can tell me this just – it just annoyed me. It really just rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't mind. Actually, I enjoyed the movie, except for this uh-huh. one scene. And that's where Uhura and Spock are making out in front of everybody.
Yeah.
On the, whatever that thing is, landing pad or whatever that's called.
Right.
Just annoyed the piss out of me. I was like, Spock would never do that. Not even yeah. a young Spock, you know?
Well, he got in a fight, too, with a bunch of little Vulcan kids.
Yeah, but they kind of set
and
that...
And then he didn't do that in the original. He wasn't like that. And he told that group of people to piss off, the ones that were going to induct him in the thing.
Oh, right, yes.
Remember that? And he didn't do that in the original either. That wasn't his character. So he was kind of cocky now. You know, like everybody got this attitude in the show. I mean, everybody. So attitude Uhura and attitude Spock making out in front of people, as obnoxious as it was, didn't surprise me in the grand scheme of the whole movie.
Oh, just,
One more thing, there you go. This isn't, and I thought, why did they have to bring the original cast in? They could have done this movie, which was a great adventure movie, which was fun, and they brought more of the action back to Star Trek, which had been lacking, with a whole new group of people and left the other stuff intact.
Right.
You know, this could have been a whole new group of people, which would have been fun. We would have got to know them. We'd still have the other part of it. And it could have been great from my perspective. It could have been unknown people that had it, but no. Because it was if you weren't into Star Trek, it was a great action flick.
Yeah.
Was, you know, there's a lot of adventure. There was a lot of, if you like special effects, they blew up a lot of stuff, you know. From that perspective, it was cool, but I guess, you know, if, I don't know, what's one of your favorite, like, close to your heart?
Well, a movie like that happened with me and my mother as well. My mother and I are both fans of the original Dracula novel by Bram Stoker.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
We like it very, very much. It's creepy.
Right.
It's dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's well written. It's very, very good.
Writing style was very cool. I mean, it was unusual.
It was, yeah, and so they come out with Bram Stoker's Dracula. Mom and I are like, yeah!
Yes.
The last time we saw Dracula, it was actually based on the movie that was done well. It was done by, I think, BBC.
Right.
There's a BBC miniseries that's very good, and it's based on the original book. So
right.
We go to see it, and it's the one that has... Oh, let me look it up so I can get everybody's name instead of going, you know, the guy with the what and the dill and the thing.
Oh, yeah, I
Okay, here we go. Yeah, have Gary Oldman is a Gary Oldman. He's
Yes.
awesome.
I saw that movie.
It's by Francis Ford Coppola. Whatever. It's got Gary Oldman in. Anyway, so mom and I go to see it. We're really excited, and it's nothing like the book.
Yes.
Nothing. And we're like,
Yes.
why in the hell did they call it Bram Stoker's Dracula? They should have just called it Another Dracula Story.
I hate those. I hate those when you really love something and they totally, I'm gonna curse, fuck it up. I hate that. I hate that.
There's so many Dracula movies out there that have nothing to do with the book, and that and they're cool and they're fun. That's fine. Don't market it as Bram
Bram
Stoker.
Stoker's, yes.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. Here's how I, but what I'm saying about Star Trek took it even an, and not everybody, I know a lot of people don't feel like this about the new Star Trek. It's something very personal for me. What they did with my Star Trek was not redo the original movies or the original series in a really shitty way. What they did was as if the people who own the rights to Dracula allowed somebody to make Dracula the new Origins. And what happened is some guy who managed to get time travel went back in time and took the guy when he became and saved his wife and then took him and taught him to be a good vampire. And now that's the vampire story. The other Dracula never existed because now that's it. He's a happy vampire that helps everybody. They totally erased that other story that never existed. I was just like, what?
You want to know something interesting? Do you know the Superman movie? Who I'm going to look that one up too. I wonder if
The newest one?
yes.
Yeah.
And this and the guy who did the suit. I'm going to have to look it up. I'm sorry.
That movie made no sense to me with what they were trying to say it was, like in between these other two Superman movies. I didn't really get.
Okay, that's Bryan Singer. That's his name. Okay, so Bryan Singer loved was a big fan, personal fan of Superman 1 and Superman 2,
With
and.
Christopher Reeves.
Yes, with Christopher Reeves, and Superman 3 sucked.
Okay.
So when he became a director, I think this is kind of cool. He said, Superman 1 and Superman 2 are awesome. We're not going to touch those. We're just going to pretend Superman 3 never happened.
Right.
We're taking over from there. And that's how I feel about the X-Men. X-Men 1 was good, even though they kind of screwed with Rogue's character. That's cool. They kept the heart of X-Men, the spirit of X-Men.
Right.
And X-Men 2 was really good.
Right.
X-Men 3 was terrible. And that's one of the best story arcs. That's the Phoenix
Yeah.
story arc. And they totally fucked it up completely. And that's a wonderful story arc. That's the one where she sacrifices herself. She has because she's become the Dark Phoenix and she's destroyed billions of people on different worlds.
Right.
And she's this evil character, and she has this moment of this lucid moment, this tiny moment of lucidity where she's back to being herself, and she
Right.
kills herself. And it's a great story. And of course,
Yes.
Scott's devastated. And anyways, X-Men 3 is so terrible. And so I'm hoping someone like Bryan Singer, that's
We'll
because
come along and do it
yes.
in a good way, yes.
Yes, do the Phoenix story like it's supposed to be done. And that's what I was talking, because Carter was all upset too. Any X-Men fan was.
Right,
You
right.
know, like Matt really liked it, but he was not an X-Men fan. He didn't read the comic books back in the 80s and the 90s.
Right.
Actually, I think that story arc was in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so I try to calm Carter because she'll get very upset when she's talking about it. And I tell her the Superman Returns story. I was like, well, you know, maybe there'll be someone like Bryan Singer in
Yes.
20 years who comes along and does a proper Phoenix story.
Yes, and wipes out the rest of
Yes.
the evil that lay inherent in X-Men 3. Aw, well, I hope for her sake he does.
X-Men.
Nothing can be done about Star Trek. It's just.
You think it's out there and it's over?
Oh, people loved it. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that came to see it that aren't Star Trek fans and never watched Star Trek, don't know anything about it. This is their Star Trek.
So, are they going to make the new storylines based on this new Star Trek then? All the new Star Trek movies are going to be based on this one?
That's my. I mean, what else can they do? You know, the people like these characters and
Right.
they really reflect the modern day time period of what people expect of characters.
Right.
But they co-opted my characters and they could have made them different people and not erased 40 years of Star Trek history.
Right. Right.
And made those characters not exist anymore. So I was really sad about that. So I'm done with the whole Star Trek thing, which is okay. I had all those years since, you know, eighth grade of watching it and loving it and having fun with it and playing in the field and making our own tricorders and having adventures. And, you know, so it was great. It was great.
Actually, you and I met because of Star Trek. You were walking down the beach with a Star Trek shirt on. I was like, oh, I've watched Star Trek.
Hey! And how many years later? Glad I had that shirt. Oh, it's a little thing. Oh, romance novels.